We are up to Siman Mimvav. Let's review Halacha Lamidal. Let's review quickly Halacha Lamidal, because Halacha Lamidal goes into Halacha Lamid Hey. The rules of Toilahim in fruit. And we have yet to do this. This stuff is packed. Toilahim in water, Toilahim in fruits, Toilahim in fish coming up soon. There's a lot of heavy duty stuff here. All the fruits, yeah, that's not a joke. A lot of the fruits have infested with worms. Let's review asurim. So we learned yesterday that when it comes to worms in fruit, it's the opposite of worms in water, bugs in water, because if a worm begins to develop inside of a fruit when it's attached to the ground, that is automatically called a sheretz hasheretz al haretz. If a worm begins to develop after it's detached from the ground, that's called, let me just give you a little bit of background, that's called a worm that is not sheretz al haretz, and that worm is mutter. So if you are absolutely certain that this worm has begun to develop when it was still attached to the tree, you're not allowed to eat this sheretz. Multiple violations of halacha by biting into that sheretz. But if you are absolutely certain that this worm began to develop after it was detached from the tree, you are permitted, without any question, to consume this worm. Now, here are the problems. Problem is, what happens if the worm develops in the flesh part of the fruit, and then it burrows a hole to the surface and comes out and says hello, takes a picture, gets very shy, and goes back inside like a baby. You're like a baby, you know, like they come out, and then goes back inside in the Torah. Ma paratz dolecha paratz. What are you coming out? You're going back inside, and then the other one comes out. It goes out and comes back inside. Once you make your appearance, your debut, you come outside, that's it. It's too late. You're already called the sheretz hasheretz al haaretz, even though it's not mamash the earth. In other words, you detach the fruit. Let's go through the steps again. You detach the fruit from the tree. And at that moment in time, there is no bug, there's no worm, nothing. And it's sitting on your table, and now, while it's on the kitchen table, it first begins to exist. Spontaneous generation. It comes to be. So as long as it doesn't penetrate the surface of the fruit, it remains inside, underneath the peel of the fruit, it's fine, you can eat it. You can bite it, you can eat it. Once it crawls to the surface, and sticks its head out, makes a little hole, and says hello, and then goes back inside, that same bug, now it's chal on that bug, all of the alois haseis, because it left its source, it came out to the surface, it's now called the sheretz hasheretz alaretz. So, what's the solution? The solution is to kill it when it's inside, to suffocate it. How do you suffocate it? So, when you see over here, is either to pickle it or to boil it. When you boil fruit, I don't know what kind of fruit we're dealing with, certain types of fruit, when you boil it, that will kill it. We will no longer be able to penetrate the surface and go back inside. There's always a danger, it'll come out and go back inside. So if you'll kill it inside, somehow, magically, maybe you'll zap it. Whatever technology you'll have to kill it inside, that will prevent it from coming to the surface, going back inside, that will be permitted. Now here is the really complicated part of the halacha, which is a no-win situation. Let's say the worm does not begin to develop in the fruit, the flesh part of the fruit, but develops in the seeds. Yeah, let's say, I don't know, some type of fruit that has seeds, an apple, and then it leaves the cavity or the seed itself, not exactly sure, it's the cavity of the seed or the seed itself, and it enters into, it pushes its way into the fleshy part of the fruit. Is that called a sheretz hasheretz al haretz? This leniency in halacha, that if the worm first begins to develop in the fruit itself, its mutter, does that mean only when, as long as it doesn't come to the surface? Or even within the fruit there are different sections, and if it forms in the cavity where the pits are found, and you can't possibly see it because you can't see what's going on inside, and it pushes its way from the cavity of where the seeds to the part of the fruit where there's the part that you eat, that also makes the sheretz into a sheretz hasheretz al aretz, even though you never saw it, it's invisible to you and it's forbidden. So halach l'machn comes from the seeds to the flesh part, it is awesome.
When do you have a kosher word? You don't have.
No, so it is known. There are examples. He gives examples. Fruits that don't have seeds, like beans, lentils.
There are such.
I don't know. I'm not a botanist, but there are. Well, no, it's not. Obviously, it's an egg. It's not nearly laying nine. That doesn't make a difference. That's not the problem. When they begin to form, before they form, even though they're there, but at al pi halacha, it's negligible because it's not nearly laying nine. Like you said, it's an egg that's not visible to the naked eye, so we're not concerned. As long as it didn't develop to the point where you can see something, so it doesn't make a difference.
Even if you do see it,
it never came out. But here's the problem, which is that's why it's not very practical. You have to know that it began already to form, only formed after it was detached from the ground. Since we do not know, it's very possible it already began to form when it was attached to the ground, then it's a sheretz, a sheretz, a laris, and it's awesome.
So that's if it weighs, if it's staying a month or two.
So a year or two. That's the kid, that's what it comes out. The only time you can really, there's certain dried fruits, preserved fruits, where you cut it off the tree and you let it sit for a year. So after a year, you can be certain that any bug that you will find inside, if it's alive.
But you have dead bugs there.
No, if dead is also a problem. A dead bug is also usser. Dead is also usser. So anything that's less than 12 months, you have to be chayish, it began to form when it was still attached to the tree. After 12 months, it definitely did not exist when it was attached to the tree, because it would have died and would have turned into dust.
No,
there is. So then it would be mutter. The only problem is, just because it would be mutter, you have to make sure two things. Number one, it didn't come to the surface and go back inside. Number two, it did not form in the pits and go from the pits to the part of the flesh part of the fruit. So if you can be certain, then it'll be mutter. How can you be certain? The solution is to boil it. If you boil it, that kills it, that prevents it from coming to the surface.
But you still have to get rid of the insect.
You don't have to get it. You can eat it.
You can eat it if it's boiled, if it's dead.
If it's dead, even if it's alive, you can eat it. As long as it never came to the surface. As long as the bug never came to the surface, and as long as the bug was not formed when it was still attached to the tree, you can make that determination. Then you can eat it.
So, but does anyone have made?
No, obviously not. You never heard of this, right? Yeah. You never heard of eating bugs, right?
Yeah.
So it's not very practical, this halacha. It's practical for the kashrus agencies who deal with these issues of all these packaged nuts.
I heard it with the fish bugs.
That will come into soon. That will come into soon. That's another very big issue. That's a big controversy. A lot of Rosh Yeshiva, not you know what I mean. I've taken sides on this issue. Who really are not all okay. Let's see what it says. Lamed
Aleph. Never seen a fish.
What?
Never seen a fish.
Fish has really gone through a lot of
words.
A lot of problems in the last couple of years. Toloim lamada, toloim hagadelim beperos boidam bemuchuber toloim, that grow beperos boodam when they're still attached bemuchuber asurim, they are forbidden. Lamadalid, I mean lamadalid, asurim. Why the answer? Afal pishuloi perishu bemakom lemakom, because it's called a sheretz hasheretz alaretz. The lipa'amim sometimes nimsa bepri, sometimes it's found in a fruit. V'chein b'poilim u'v'kidios k'min nekuda shechayra, little black dots. V'ukmokam shiskel hatola hatola l'hisrakeim, and that began to form when it was still attached to the tree, and that's aser. But tzach lila misham bi'oimek de aser k'mo hatolas atzma, that little black dot is us like the worm itself. Halacha lamed hey. Kol pri shedarko lehaslia b'oidem chubor im avru olav shemas achodesh mishenit lashmuter. If 12 months have passed, it's a-okay. Because even if there was a bug when it was attached to the tree, after 12 months it died and turned into dust. Ki kol b'riya she'ein bo etzem, eina miskayemes shneim asochodesh, ukvarnases ka'afra ba'oma anitzmot, umishum chashash shemat liu b'talush. As far as the katana, maybe it took ru b'talush. There is a... Now, next question. What about the concern that maybe it began to form after it was detached from the tree? So that's okay, provided that it did not come to the surface. Umishum chashash shema hitli betolush tsrichin levodkon ulahash lechatoiloim vehayaf hushim shenim subachutz. So as far as the concern of this fruit that's sitting around for 12 months since it's been attached to the tree, it formed new bugs, just make sure there's no bugs on the outside. Rinse it and wash it and get rid of the bugs and everything is good. Any bug that remains inside is okay. The achar kach yitnim lemayim tsoinanim the arveim yafa yafa. After you clean off all of the bugs on the outside, rinse it in cold water and The arvein, yofa, what does it mean arvein?
Mix
them up. Rinse it.
No, soak it in water.
Soak it in water, yofa, yofa. The yalu hatoloim vehamenu kavim lamalu, all of the bugs will rise to the surface and you'll clean out all the bugs. The ach, now that's all fine and good for all the bugs that will already have come to the surface, already near the surface. But what about those bugs that are still inside? So technically, at this moment in time, they're mutter. But there's a concern when you take this, you bring it to your kitchen table, over a day or two, those bugs may come out of their holes from the food and come to the surface to go back inside. We have to eliminate that problem by killing them inside. How do we do that? You boil the fruits. And by boiling the fruit, you're going to kill the bugs inside so they'll never come out. They'll never come and reveal their secrets. Shem nishar b'chem telas tamus miyod. If there's a worm inside, it'll die right away. And it won't come to the surface. Now the ein lismach, now that's all fine when it comes to bugs that are in the flesh, that are going to come to the surface. But what about if there's a bug in the seed? And the bug travels from the seed to the flesh. You'll never know about it. You'll never see. You don't have X-ray vision. You don't know that this happened. So in those type of fruits where there are seeds and the bugs form in the seeds, there is no solution and the fruits are usur. Unless you cut them open and you examine to make sure there are no bugs. Then lismech al zerak bekitnils fadoshim, beans and lentils, because uchadoyme, they have no seeds. The daf galiach hashem basachadish, only after 12 months, because after 12 months, then even if you find the bug, there's nothing to worry about because it was formed after it was detached. But when it comes to fruit that have seeds, there's a concern. It went from the seed into the fruit. And if it's within 12 months, there's a concern that the bug was formed when it was still attached to the tree, which is also, even if it never comes forward, because then it's considered sheretz ha-sheretz al-la'aretz. Kehaloch lamed vav. Kol peres shetshichem bedika tzorech liftoyach b'kol echad v'yachad ulahashtach es ha-gar'in. Any fruit which requires bedika, you can't rely on roif. It's a very big chumrah. You can't rely on, I'll check the majority of the fruits and it's good enough. You have to check every single fruit. Every single fruit and check the seeds. L'hashtach es hagar'in, throw away the seeds because the seeds are where the bugs are found.
L'man yuchal. You have to cut an apple open.
Well, we don't know because our fruits are not the cheskas having bugs. He's referring to fruits which have a chazaka, which are known to have bugs. But if you, the fruits that they sell in the store today, they're known, they wouldn't be able to market them. They're known, more or less, that they're bug free. Call aperos etzichem l'dika tzach l'vtech. You know for a fact that these fruits have bugs. They becheskas toloim b'tzach b'dika l'vtech. Call echad v'echad l'hashleches hagarinin. You have to throw away the seeds. L'man yuchel l'vodka yafe yafe. U'tzichem l'zor b'zem me'oid kishe merakhin peros b'dvash v'sukar. When you preserve fruits in honey and sugar, v'chein kish oisim meriba, certain type of jam, because in these situations it causes bugs are very common. It's not enough to check something, they're not bottled bugs, are bria. There's no din bittel when it comes to a bria, something which is a creature, and therefore you have to, everyone counts. It's a very big chumrah, you have to check every single one of them. Okay, let's go further. Allah Mitzayel, just try to finish up. Then we'll go. We have a lot of things to go back. A lot of Shem Sam Allah. I just want to finish up the simon first to be easier. Sometimes you find in flour large worms. So this is easy. This is not like the case we had before by vinegar. Vinegar, the worms are very, very small. It's very, very hard to remove. Flour is very easy. The type of bugs you're going to find in flour are large, so they're very easy to remove through a sieve. The sage. What? Right? Well, no, it's not necessarily. So they do find your stories. You do your story where they find bugs and different things
black
in flour.
Spots,
so you have to be careful.
Black spots and flour, matzo mayo.
The sagi kishemenape oisoy binofesh ein hatolom over mitzanof use a sieve is good enough. Aval im nimsu boitolom kitanim. These are called mites. Mites, okay, that's a very, he talks about it over and over. He's very, very involved with the mites in all different types of fruits So it's not going to help. Sieving a sieve is not going to help. If you do find wheat, which is full of bugs, you have to ask the chacham what to do. When do you say bittle, not bittle? The only solution is because when you grind it, you grind up the worms into little teeny pieces, into dust. So then bittle will work. Bittle does not work when it's complete, but bittle does work when the worm has been ground into a. I don't know. He says it's a chacham. I don't know. I don't know the halachas. I don't know more than this. Not necessarily. You should be shocked what you're allowed to do, what the FDA allows you to do. The standards, they say, when I was in Empire, they told us the standards the FDA has for treifas are very, very low. In other words, the FDA looks at every single bird that they shecht passes in front of the eyes of an inspector. Can you imagine that? Every single bird that's eaten today by a human being that's sold in the United States, an FDA inspector's eyes looked at. The machine pulls out the kishkas and it can see basically the inside, and if there's anything that's abnormal, it's right away flagged and it's off. It's very rare for an FDA inspector to take off the line a bird because there's some discoloration, something they find to be unusual. But the boitchim, the mashkichim who check, they run their hand down every single one of the intestines of the birds. They also in the process see the same thing that the FDA inspectors see. And they're more machmir. And there's a discoloration which will pass an FDA inspector, and this discoloration looks fishy for a mashkiach, he'll take it off. Because that's a sign that there's a treifa, there's something abnormal, there can be possibly something wrong. And they take it off. So you see right away right there, they showed us that the standards of halacha are much stricter than the standards of the United States, what they'll allow to be sold in the market. So when it comes to bugs, there's nothing wrong with a bug. They sell bugs in the store. You can buy bugs. So if your fruits and vegetables have a couple of bugs, who says it's so bad? They'll tell you it's even better. The bugs take away the bacteria. That's a sign that the food is healthy. The food is alive. There's something alive there. Something can live. If the food was contaminated, the living creature couldn't exist. They'll tell you it's a maila, not a chasar.
So when the guy buys kosher meat, that's exactly right. They're buying at a higher standard.
Absolutely, they're buying a higher standard. They buy everything because the Torah says that bugs are no good. So I mean, we assume it's not good for us. You know, that's one of the big tests they look for land. I remember in Eretz Yisrael, they scout out different areas to build new neighborhoods. So the first people to come down to do when you want to build a development is you look if there are birds, if there are even rodents, there are cats, there are animals. If there's no living life, if there are no birds flying, there's something really wrong. That means that this area is contaminated. There's contamination. So they do extensive testing in the environment to make sure that there's wildlife. If there's wildlife, that means it's a healthy land. There's no contamination. No, it's right. It goes to show there's something there. But if you go and have food and there's no bugs in the food, maybe that's not a good sign. You got to clean off the bugs. Okay, let's go further. Halacha. Lamed Ches. Kol davar shetliya v'hu davar shena derech levot kol mitulayim. Anything which has become wormy, and this is a type of food which you don't normally inspect. Also lemachlev k'chavim k'sheish locha shem yachsev yim kredel yisrael. So this is a typical halacha of lifnei iver l'asitin michshal. You're not allowed to sell something which is a concern that the guy, this you buy some type of fruits and vegetables, and normally there's no bodik for this type of fruit and vegetable, because it's never an issue. But this batch is unique. It does have a problem. If I'm going to sell it to a guy, the guy might resell it to a Jew, and the Jew will not realize that there's a problem. So you're not allowed to sell it to a guy when there is such a possibility. And you're allowed to use wormy, this is a stama halacha, I don't know all the details of how this works, but you're allowed to use barley that's wormy to make beer. Because when you drink beer, you're not drinking the wheat. You're just using the flavor of the wheat. When you take
brandy or
shraf is whiskey. So this is what I'm saying, but the same idea. You're not allowed to, when it comes to making bread, and you have wheat, and the wheat is full of worms, you got a problem. Because the worms are going to make their way into the bread itself. But when you're not going to use the wheat or the barley as the product, it's just you're going to use it as a means of producing something else to extract its flavor. An ingredient you're going to consume. You're using it as an agent, as a catalyst to do something else, then the rules of kashrus are much more relaxed. Although in this object it's full of worms, davar aser, but I'm not going to actually eat this. I'm just going to use this mixture as a catalyst to produce another product. So the rules are much more lenient. So then, it's permitted. I don't know the technique. Whatever the technique. So here you have in your situation, you have wheat or some type of grain that's full of worms. And in this culture, in this society, in this environment, people don't check the wheat and the barley for worms because it never happens. But this was a unique situation where it did happen. I'm not allowed to go and give it to a guy because the guy in turn will give it to a Jew. So it's a problem. But let's say I'm not giving it to a guy. I'm giving it for myself because I'm planning on using this to make a product where it's not going to actually be an ingredient, but just going to be used as a catalyst to produce something else, that's mutter. But am I allowed to keep it around for a long time? No. I'm planning on keeping it around for a year or a couple of months. By that time, I might forget myself. I might actually use the wheat or barley to produce bread. And then I'll forget, I'll actually have bugs in my bread, so then it is forbidden. Don't keep it around for a long period of time. There are many times vegetables is problematic. We all know today, it's a multi-million dollar business to get you to buy the bodek lettuce and all the competitors, even the stores. You know, the pomegranate, they have their own line, I think. They have their own line of produce, where they have a mashkiach, also checks for, certainly Pesach time they do this. They have their own line of, it's very smart. Why should we bring in bodek lettuce and all these different, we'll check, and they know what the markup is. You buy romaine lettuce, and you inspect it, you can mark it up, double, triple, who knows how much you can mark it up. So, pomegranates, we have also mashkiach here, we also know the business, we do this the whole day. So we'll take the romaine lettuce, and we'll check it ourselves, and we'll put on a label, and we can charge the same price as the bodek, and we can make a killing. And they do. Good for them. So that's what you can do.
Mexican does it clean.
The Mexicans, they're the mashkichim. Well, what do you think bodek does? You don't think most of the Mexicans do it? They also do it. What? Ever. They have mashkichim. They have trained them. Whatever they do. But today, it's a big business. Vegetables are infested with worms. Anyone here eat strawberries?
Yeah.
Everybody's showing no problem, right?
I keep on looking.
Some people, it became a new craze not to eat strawberries. Shocking. I grew up with strawberries.
Yeah, I love them.
Staple of life. And all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, can't eat strawberries anymore. Strawberries are
frozen strawberries.
They say they're the worst. That was my favorite. Those yellow, they still make that? The frozen strawberries soaked in sugar, in those little yellow containers. Those small yellow containers, is that what they're called? So they say now you can't eat all this stuff. It's all full of bugs. I don't know. I do not know.
So what do you do that way? You like strawberry?
I don't. My diet has changed quite a bit over the last couple of years, anyway. So I don't.
You don't eat sugar.
I became less of about my tithes have transferred to other to other areas.
I said the same for raspberries.
I've not become
raspberries.
What?
I love black.
I never like raisins. I've never had a meal raisins. What? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. You want to buy the ones that I checked? It's a fortune. You shut out your whole salary on your coil check. Your whole coil check will go just to buy. Bugs, not yet. Not yet. Don't hold your breath. Mileben is the mites. The mash and noshim donates says, don't trust the women. You hear what they say over here? Don't trust the women. This is not going to go off well today. Mash and noshim oimoshe sheme havenes hayark poesh. They say that they toast it in fire. They singe in fire. That kills all the bugs. Ain moil. Sorry, good try, no cigar. Doesn't work. It doesn't help. Singeing in the fire is not going to take away the bugs from these types of vegetables. The yeish miniperos v'chem miniperos v'chem minirokos shemuzakim kol kach betoloyim at shekamat ef shel vodka. It's impossible to eat. There are such things. V'roy l'chol yireish shemayim shloy l'ochlon kilol. The yeish miniperos shehagarinim uzakim betoloyim v'yosul ochlon the seeds. Okay, all depends. Every so often things change, they get better, get worse. If you're into it, the caterers are into it. They know what's going on, and they'll tell you what society will tolerate and what is not accepted. Nuts is also a very big problem. Small worms, mites. Now he has all these tests. I don't know about these tests. I'm just going to read the words. I don't think it's going to work today. When you take the oichel, the food part from the shell, makin baklipa, and you bang on the shell, al ezemokim cham ktsas. You take the shell and you bang it on a warm place. Take it to a near the stove. Yoytzin tolom ketanim shenisharu. The mites fly out. The mites do not like heat. They are irritated by heat and they'll fly out. Fine, if that works, it works. I'm not sure how this works. Mem Aleph, lepa'amim nimsa b'peiros mirukachim, in preserved. The word mirukachim means preserved fruits. Bedvash v'sukkah sheyesh l'malos sava kli tolem ketanim. Mites. Yinako some hative. If in the preserved fruit on the surface you'll find mites, clean it out. V'yikvi ketzas gam in amachol ad sheyhei boru shalon nishar b'srech amachol. It forms on top. When you take fruit, you preserve it in sugar or in honey. The bugs are found on top. It's not a problem. Just clean out the top and you're good to go. Membeis. Chotach pri eitznoi. Now this is interesting halacha. Let's say you cut a something that's sharp. So it's a fruit or radish, besakin. So duchko de sakina, and you slice into a bug. So you can make your knife chafe. I've yet. They always read about this halachas, but I've yet to see this happen. You have an apple, and you slice the apple, and you slice right into a bug halfway down. So the duchko de sakina makes the knife chafe on that part of the knife. So you have to catch the knife. The chotach gama talas, assuming that the talas is treif, the talas is only forbidden if the apple is less than 12 months old, which typically it is. Gam ha talash of chotach gama talash hoy sabuchem yikanech es hasakin heitiv. You clean the knife very well. The gamin hatsnoyim in the apri. It doesn't make sure. You just have to clean. You have to just make sure you clean off that part of the knife. Right? It doesn't make a treif. The gamin hatsnoyim in the apri yikloif ktsas b'makom achatach. You have to peel away a small amount from where you made impact. Mem Gimel. Okay, we're just going to read this. We're going to try to do this in more detail another time. We have to go back and do the Shoshim Halach and just read what it says about the worms and fish. This is very complicated. Today it's become a very big issue. B'soich ha-dogim nimtzeim lepa'amim, occasionally, tala'im ba'moyach, in the brain, oy ba kaved, in the liver, oy be meyayim, in the intestines, oy ba peh, in the mouth, oy be oznaim, b'prat b'dog ha-nikra ze'ev ha-mayim. And what is that called? Swordfish? What's a Zev Hamayim? Zev is a wolf. Zev Hamayim. Hecht. What's Hecht? You know what that is? I have no idea. Yesh boy tloim dakim baruchim. They're very dakim. The small baruchim. Mokem is a shchech tzach bedika, and where it's common, you must make a bedika. Vechein bedug meluach herring. Shechichim b'seich echalav in the fat tloim dakim with shechim bedika. Yesh mekama sheyesh al adogim libachutz eitzel. It depends. Depends all different times and places. Different types of herring. How many types of herring are there? 100 types of herring. You go to a kiddush, they have so many herrings. All different types of fish. V'yesh mekama sheyesh l'adogim b'chutz eitzel hasinapirim on the scales. V'gam al hasinapirim b'uvesoich peh avachori haznayim shirotzim ketanim me'oid v'heim agulim kadosh l'ran like a lentil v'tzichim l'vdoik sham ulugorin heitev. Okay, all different types of fish. You need to be a real expert on this. Well, maybe we'll see if I can find some stuff. I know in the journals, in the contemporary halachic journals, the RJJ, they have some very good articles about the bugs and fish. If I'm not mistaken, I'll make it, try to get a hold of it and try to read up on it. Mem Dalet. You have it at home? You can bring it in. It'll be great if you can bring it in. The one that about the bugs and the fish.
How long ago was that?
I don't know. I think about a year ago.
Who's the article written?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I have the index.
There's one who writes all these articles from YU.
Zavitovsky.
I don't remember.
He's a
professor
in YU, but he always writes.
Alfred Cohn? Who else?
He's an I was once there.
Alfred Cohn is.
And
it's online. Oh, it's online now. All the old editions are all online.
I have a big booklet.
The whole thing is online now.
I was there for a whole day session.
It's amazing. It really stood the test of time. That the journal is still going strong. Still going with all this stuff out there today.
It's college in Queens. I was there for
the whole day. Toloim mem da'al. Let's finish up. Toloim hanimsim begivina im einam nimosim olav mutarim kol zman shlei perishu legamri. So in cheese, it's normal habitat. Okay, so there's a very unique halacha that cheese, worms that are found in cheese, if they're not disgusting, so it's not sheretz, as sheretz al oretz. This is where there it's natural, it's this bria, it's mutter. So if you find a worm in cheese, it's mutter. Mem hey, harbe asharetz hisir hatar b'shuatzim, v'oivrim aleihem b'kam alavim. Sometimes 3, sometimes 4, sometimes 5. The Torah obviously held, Hashem obviously warned us many times that it's not a good thing to eat shrotzim. There's something more to it than we know. To us it doesn't seem like it's any big deal. What's the big deal? But Hashem said there's something very wrong with shrotzim and stay away from them. The oivale mekamalavim umitamis and nefesh. It contaminates the soul. Kilchsev v'nitme sem bam ulechein tzarich ha'adam lizaher b'meoid meoid shelo yikashel uheb, not to be nichshel in eating bugs, worms. Memvav hashel lemoir hara. Now this is a very, very controversial statement. It says over here, if you go to a rav to ask a shayla lemoire hara eza shayla va'asara, and the rav says osur osur lo lishal oy lemoire hara acher. You're not allowed to go to another poisek for a second opinion. Now that's not so simple. You have to know the context. Ela im kein hodia shekvar hoyro harishon leiser, unless you tell the second poisek that the first one already decided that it's usher. So what is that going to accomplish?
It's biased already. He doesn't want to.
What is it going to accomplish? So this is a very complicated halacha. It's very, very vague. I don't know. I really don't know. That's a very, very... It's a general concept. I guess perhaps he felt that since this is a simen, this whole simen is a very long simen in love, it's a collection of macholos asuros. The things here, at least in his time, were extremely common. He's gone through basa b'cholav, taruvis, mixtures of Jews and non-Jews, bugs, all different types of bugs. He's gone through quite a bit. I mean, we just ran through it very quickly, but he really covered an enormous amount of ground, and obviously anything that has to do with food is a daily occurrence, and you have a family, so you're going to go ask the Rav Shaila, and you're not going to be happy with the Rav, has to see what the Rav tells you. So you want to go to another Rav. You have to understand that this was said in his time where people had one Rav. You lived in a small community, and the next Rav was far, far away. You didn't, not like today, where every block you have the Gadol HaDor. So, we are in a different frame of mind. When we ask a shayla, most people don't ask a shayla, I'm going to accept your psak halacha. I want to hear your opinion. That's serious. When you go ask a shayla, the rabbanim, they also, they're in that mode. You're asking me a shayla, I'll tell you my opinion. I don't expect you're going to listen to me because I know that you haven't paid membership dues here for 3 years. Even though you daven for the oven every day and you're the guest of honor, but you haven't paid membership dues and you're probably more on time with your membership dues in the shul across the street. So I know that you're asking me out of convenience because the Rav is on vacation. I'm here today. And if that Rav was here, you would go to him. And when he's on, and vice versa. So everyone today is in a different frame of mind. And with the internet, you can go online, anonymous, ask the rabbi. How many websites have Ask the Rabbi? And some of them are very good. Years ago, I used to ask Shilas. I wanted to test them out. And I got really good stuff. You ask these Kohelim in Eretz Yisrael, and you ask them questions, and they give you fantastic answers. And in fact, they publish some of these websites, they published volumes of all the questions.
Well-researched.
Well-researched, well-done. I want to ask him a question. Are you mechuyev to have...
Documents.
I don't remember. You type it on the computer. Ask the rabbi. Just type it in. You'll probably get a cold collection of sites, a very good sites. I want to ask him a question. Does an Aron Kodesh need, according to halacha, parochas? Let's say you have a shul. There's no parochas. They just have a safe. Are they in violation of halacha? Is an emergency? Tough shayla. Try to find that in all the poskim. You have to. It's a minute to have a parochas. It costs a few $100s to put up. You don't want to do a shoddy job, or you don't want to step on someone's toes. They don't want to get a parochas. What's the halacha? So I was fascinated. They came like 2 weeks later. Got back a whole tshuva. I didn't pay them one penny, and they wrote up a whole tshuva. Basically says no. It's a minog. It's the right thing to do, and there's no halacha. You have to have a parochas. If you don't have a parochas, what?
But
it's not something that's worth to make a fight about. And they showed me all the mukarvus of the parochas, and I was very impressed. Like, wow, I couldn't do this. I couldn't figure out how to do this, to go research all these issues and all these sources and come out with a clear psak halacha. Very impressive.
I thought we learned that we needed it.
No,
you learned that it's the right thing. The Migdash comes from the Beis Hamikdash. It comes from. It's a minog. It's only a minog. It's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch anywhere. It's a minog. It's not Shulchan Aruch. But you should have it. It's the right thing to do. But it's not a halacha that you must have it.
Even the Beis Hamikdash that they said that they had a wall and a
both the Bais Rishon. The Bais Rishon had a door. A door and a curtain. Okay, so obviously the reason why this is presented here is because this is a very dilmacholas asuros. You go to a Rav, it has a lot to do with attitude. If you're going to Rav and this is your only Rav, whatever he tells you, shavya anafshe chaticha diisud. This is a halachic principle. If you accept something to be asur, it's asur for yourself. It may be mutter for someone else. Shavya alei chaticha deisur. If you are in the frame of mind that this is my rabbi and I listen to him, whatever he tells me to do, I do, and he tells me that it's asur, that's it. Shavya alei chaticha deisur. It's the chefsa deisur. Going to another rabbi to ask him for heter is not going to work. It's already asur. Unless you're not my rabbi. You're not my rabbi. Shavi, I'm coming to ask your opinion because I hold that my son, you know, today we live in a generation, Balabas says to me, today all the Balabatim who come to ask the Rav the question, in the back of their mind they say, my son knows how to learn a lot better than the rabbi. No, really, that's the attitude that all the Balabatim have today. My son's in Kol and learns in Yeshiva, he knows just as much as the rabbi. I'll ask my son later out of convenience. So when I ask the rabbi Shaila, I'm not asking you as a decisive decision. I'm asking you for your opinion on the matter. I'll decide from the various, my assessment of my children and my this Rav and that Rav, and everyone has an uncle and a cousin and a someone in Eretz. So they'll go ask the big, big people in Eretz Yisrael. They'll go to them and ask them a Shaila. So we're in a different frame of mind. There's not today the same degree of Shavya Anaf Sheikhaticha the Isura. Yeah.
This I'll accept your psak, unless you're not willing to answer. Somebody has a shayla in shul today.
Are you familiar with the Keurig coffee machine how it works?
Yeah.
The new little Snook coffee machines where you steal the little things in and you push it down?
If one has used that, the Keurig, with a K-cup that doesn't have Hashgacha, and now you want, are you allowed to then use that machine when you are going to use a K-cup that does have Hashgacha?
I don't know the answer. I don't know. I don't know.
You know if it's straight.
I didn't say it's straight.
You don't know if it's straight.
I don't know the answer.
It doesn't have Hashgacha.
It doesn't mean it's straight.
Right.
Could be yes, could be no.
The coffees are usually very careful that it's that no additives, no preservatives. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, let us stop.